You've heard the expression penny wise and pound foolish. Well, it's especially true with how some folks treat their mortgage. I am Rob West. Here in the States, we could say penny wise and dollar foolish. And it seems like a lot of folks are that way. They're more concerned with the interest they're getting on their savings account than the interest they're paying on their mortgage. I'll talk about that today. We're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, please understand, it's a good thing to shop around for the best interest rates on savings. But my point is, it's a whole lot more important to pay attention to how much you're paying in interest on your mortgage, because efforts to reduce that will pay off so much more. Just take a hard look at the amount of interest you'll pay over the life of a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, and it should be all the incentive you need to pay it off as fast as possible. Let's say you take out a $300,000 30-year fixed-rate mortgage at 6.5%, about the average rate these days, unfortunately. At the end of that term, you'll have paid almost $383,000 in interest, making the true cost of the home closer to $700,000. With today's higher interest rates, it's more important than ever to get your mortgage paid off as quickly as possible. Now, let's say you take out that 30-year mortgage, but you decide to pay an extra $250 a month on the principal. You might have to make some sacrifices to do that, but again, it'll pay off big. How big? Well, if you pay that extra $250 each month, you'll pay off the 30-year loan 8 years and 2 months faster, saving you, you ready for this, $120,000 in interest. So you see, the potential payoff for getting rid of your mortgage early is huge, and it really needs to be a priority in your financial decision-making. So here are 4 steps to getting there. First, you need a spending plan, not just because it's a good idea and everyone should have one, which is true. You need a budget because you can't start the process of accelerating your mortgage payments without one. And setting up your spending plan is now easier than ever with the FaithFi app. It uses the envelope system to make budgeting easy, and it'll track your spending and reveal things you can cut to free up more cash. You'll find it at faithfi.com. For example, cut back on your streaming services, limit eating out, put a moratorium on new clothes purchases, even if it's just for a month or two. If you need more incentive to tighten the belt, consider that saving just $25 a month and putting it on your mortgage will net you $17,000 in reduced interest payments in the example we gave before. Okay, the next step is to determine just how much of that extra cash you can apply to your mortgage. You can even make it a budget category all by itself. The point is, anything extra you put on your mortgage now will be worth a lot more down the road, so make that number as big as you can. You may start to feel deprived because you've cut a lot of your fun spending. It helps to celebrate milestones along the way, maybe a special dinner out whenever you've paid off another $1,000 in mortgage principal. Just keep celebrating within the budget. Now, the next step is something anyone can do, even if you've been thinking up to this point that you have no surplus cash to put on the mortgage. It's using money that comes your way outside of your budget. Some call it found money or mad money. Make a commitment to put that unexpected cash on your mortgage principal, as well as the surplus money you've identified in your budget. Where does this extra money come from? Well, it could be just about anywhere. Overtime pay or a work bonus, maybe money from work you do on the side, a tax refund, gift money, or cash you get from selling stuff. The trick is to apply that money to your mortgage principal as soon as you get it. Don't think of it as mad money that you can spend any way you like. Don't let it sit around tempting you. If you haven't set up an online account with your lender, do that now. Most lender websites now make it easy to apply extra payments to the principal just by clicking a button or two. And while you're logging in, you'll be able to see the running balance of your principal. Keep track of it. Watch it go down as you make extra payments. That'll help you stay motivated and, remember, celebrate your progress along the way. And the sooner you start, the more money you'll save that can be put to better uses. Proverbs 21:5 says, "Slow and steady plodding brings prosperity." So start plodding steadily toward your early mortgage payoff. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Stay with us. We're just getting started.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
We're wrapping up our study in 1 Timothy this week on Truth for Life. Find out what exemplifies true Christianity, learn how to recognize and respond properly to false teaching, and discover why spiritual fitness requires devotion and diligence. That's all this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
The Washington Post said under the current Supreme Court, the church-state wall is crumbling after Texas legislators voted on chaplains in schools. I wonder if they know or even care that the First Continental Congress voted to have a chaplain for Congress. To believe or not believe in God is the right of every individual. The best thing to do today is offer spiritual support to people, but not force them. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
God owns it all. We're stewards of His resources, which makes money a tool to accomplish His purposes. Hi, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, looking at our financial decisions through the lens of a biblical worldview. That means going to the source, God's Word, to draw our principles and thoughts related to handling His money. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. We'll begin today in South Florida. Teresa, go right ahead. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. My situation is my sister passed away in March, and she lived with me, and, you know, she helped me with things at my house. My homeowner's insurance went up, and it took my mortgage from $1,256 to $1,769.
Wow.
I do work, but I don't, you know, I'm trying to find a way to put some money into my pocket. One of the questions I have, I turned 65 this year, and my mother said I should take my Social Security now, but yeah. I think I need to probably, to get the full amount, I think I need to wait until I turn 66 and a half.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that would affect me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your sister's passing, and I realize what's going on with homeowners insurance in Florida in particular. It's happening nationwide, but certainly in Florida, you're seeing you're getting hit the hardest. And so these are real, and we've got to go back to the budget and just say, what opportunities do we have to both decrease expenses as well as increase income? On the decreasing expenses side, I'm sure you've taken a look at that, but you know, maybe you take another pass at the budget and just look for areas you can cut back given the reality of this significantly higher mortgage payment. On the income side, clearly taking the Social Security benefits is one way to do that. I agree. The longer you can wait, the better. You're going to reduce that by about 8% a year. So if you've got about 18 months to go, you could see a reduction of maybe around 12% of what you would have received as your full benefit at full retirement age if you were to take that now. And that's a meaningful reduction. And yet at the same time, if that's really the key to solving this gap for your monthly expenses, it may be the time to do it, because we ideally would wait as long as we can, but there's a real need now. So unless you want to sell the home and downsize or do something else to kind of right size the budget, it seems like that might be the way to do it if there's no other alternatives. Give me your thoughts on that, though.
Well, I really would kind of like to wait. I have looked at what I can maybe cut out of my budget. One of the things is canceling my life insurance. Life insurance, I used to work for Primerica on the side, and they said as you get older, which I'm not at the 72-year age in that, the insurance begins to decrease. And right now, I put out $99 a month for like $150,000 worth of insurance. So I'm thinking that maybe I could cancel that.
Yes.
The other thing I was thinking is I do have a small 401k. I had to buy a car this last year because someone rear-ended me, and my payment is like $294 a month. So I thought, well, maybe I should take out the money from the 401k and go ahead and pay my car off. That would clear up $294 a month. I need to come up with about $500.
Okay.
So
all right.
I'm trying to figure out a way to do that.
Yeah. And what is the life insurance premium annually?
Monthly, it's $99.35, okay. Something like
okay.
that.
And what is the death benefit on that?
$150,000.
All right. And who is the beneficiary?
It's the beneficiary would be my children.
Okay. So this you're just looking at as kind of a part of their inheritance?
No. I guess basically the thing that I was looking at is that because they would just sell the house if I was in the house still. Basically, burial expenses for myself, so they wouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, but they wouldn't need $150,000 for that. So I think this is absolutely a way for you to reduce your expenses. I mean, that's $100 a month, which is a fifth of what you need, you know, to be able to close this gap. And there's really not a need for it. I mean, there would be potentially other assets there. You could either prepay those funeral expenses or at the very least take that $100 a month and begin setting it aside in a savings account, build that up over time so you have the money that's needed to be able to cover that. But you also could get access to it in the meantime. So I think that's, you know, should be something you absolutely look at. What do you have in the 401k today? How much?
$37,000 in the one where I worked at before. And in the current company that I work for, I have about $11,000.
Okay. All right.
And my car was $15,000 when I purchased it in August.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I would hate for you to pull that money out of the 401k right now. It's probably down with the market, and I'd love for this to continue to build so that you could, you know, convert this to an income stream to supplement what you're going to be getting, you know, from Social Security down the road. You're still working currently. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And once you take Social Security, let's say you were to wait till full retirement age, another 18 months, is Social Security alone enough to cover your bills, or are you going to need to supplement that?
I am probably going to have to continue to work for a while.
Yeah. Okay. And so you're going to want to continue to put money away. So I think, yeah, if we can avoid pulling money out of that 401k, especially while we're waiting for the market to rebound, I think that would be ideal. So I think your best option at this point would be to go ahead and, you know, look at stopping that, life insurance, number one. I think number two, you know, is there an option to either downsize or look at maybe bringing in a roommate, something like that?
Well, that was the next option. I've been in this house, for like, 33 years, I think I've lived in this house.
Yeah.
There's not probably much equity because I became single at 37 again, and raised my children in the house. So sometimes I had to take money out to help me with the raising of the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand. Well, let's do this. I want to get your information and have one of our certified Christian financial counselors give you a call. We'll cover the cost on this. There's no expense to you, but I want to have them help you analyze all of these factors, and let's see which is going to be the most cost effective. We can look at the permanent reduction in Social Security versus the potential to keep that money in the 401k. We'll put that against paying off the car and just see which makes the most sense as we evaluate all of these scenarios, because we want to get this right and we want to maximize your income in the future. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information and we'll get someone in touch with you. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543.
326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Heading back to the phones to take your calls, let's head to Florida. Hi, Linda. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a credit card that's about $12,000, and my income is Social Security, only $1,100 a month. And I'm wondering if I can get the interest rate down on that or what I can do to, help. I need help.
Yeah, no, I understand that, Linda, especially on a fixed income. I know that can be challenging. Let me ask you, what led to the debt in the first place, and do you feel like you've been able to stop whatever got you to this point so that we wouldn't be adding to it in the future?
Yeah, I can stop using it. I think I used it the other day by accident, but I just pulled out the wrong card, and, you know, but anyway.
Okay. I guess what I want to make sure of is that typically when there's credit card debt, it's just living beyond your means. And I understand living on a fixed income is challenging. So if that's the case and you've not made the changes in your spending plan to be able to eliminate the use of that credit card for unbudgeted purchases, then I would say, you know, we need to address that first. But if it was a one-time event that led to it or a series of events, or you've kind of already right-sized your budget, then that's different. Do you follow?
Yeah, I was doing pretty good. And then my sister told me I should take my dog to the vet. And so I did, and it was $300, and I used the card. And then it just spiraled. She wanted me to get furniture and put it on my card, and she was dying. And, you know, I said, okay, I put it on the card, and things from there. I'm pretty sure, yeah, I did put it on my, needed a bed, and I ended up, getting one.
Sure, sure.
And gave it away to my niece because it didn't work for me, and I have chronic pain all the time.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that. No, I realize that life can be challenging, and I think the key is we just need to make sure, you know, as you work toward getting this paid down and ultimately paid off, that to the best of your ability, you try to build up a little bit of a nest egg or an emergency reserve so that when the unexpected comes, we fall back on that and we don't create this cycle where you're, you know, charging up debt with money you don't have and then paying it down and then charging it up again. And that's going to come with just really trying to limit your spending wherever possible. And again, I realize that's easier said than done. In terms of the answer to your question about how to get this paid off, my preferred approach, especially with the amount of debt that you have at $12,000, would be what's called a debt management program. You might also hear it referred to as credit counseling. And basically what happens is the account is closed. Now, you could have another account, a debit card, or even another credit card if you wanted to, although, again, I'd be very careful with that. But whatever card goes into the debt management program, the card is closed. You would make one monthly payment through a nonprofit credit counseling agency. We prefer Christian Credit Counselors. They've worked with hundreds and hundreds of our listeners. And through the lower interest rate, which is what would happen, every credit card company has a reduced interest rate that they offer whenever a card is placed in their credit counseling program. So you'd be able to take advantage of a lower interest rate. And then by sending one level monthly payment combined with that lower interest rate, you'll pay it off through credit counseling 80% faster on average. And so you would just head to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They would meet with you over the phone, help you work up your budget, tell you what that lower interest rate would be. And if that makes sense to you, then you could enter the card into the program. And I think that would help you, you know, get this going in the right direction without you having to take out a new loan to pay it off or consolidate it or anything like that.
Okay. You said ChristianCounseling.org?
Yeah, let me give you that to you again. It's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
Wait, hold on.
Sure. Let's do this. I'm going to have you stay on the line, and my team will get on and make sure you get that exactly the way you need it. But I think that's going to help you accomplish what you're looking for, Linda. So you hold the line, and we'll give you that web address when you're ready. Thanks for calling today. To Spokane, Washington. Hi, CJ. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I had a question about saving for my kids. I have four younger kids, and I'm in a position where I've been blessed that I can start saving money for them, but I'm not sure if they're all planning on college. And I know I like that savings vehicle for it, but I don't want to be locked into that if they're not going. Is there anything that I can do? Anything better or anything like that?
Well, I think the key is to recognize the limitations on any of these types of accounts. So one is a 529 college savings, but you're right. Unless you were taking it out on a pro rata basis for scholarship awards or grants, the money really has to be used for qualified educational expenses, or else you're not going to get the benefit from it. So if you want it more widely available than college, you probably don't need to put it in a 529. You'll also hear, when it comes to kids, a lot about what's called a custodial account. The challenge with that type of account is that it becomes the child's asset at the age of majority. So whatever that is in your state, typically 18, it's automatically their asset. So if they want to buy a sports car, they can buy a sports car. If they're making, you know, the poor lifestyle decisions at that point, it could accelerate that. If they're not financially mature, just in terms of their ability to handle money, which many 18-year-olds aren't, you know, that would potentially create problems. So the easiest way to go about this, CJ, is just to open an account for each one of the children in your name, or jointly, if you're married, you and your wife would open accounts. And you could open different accounts for each child, and essentially you'd earmark one for each child, but it's still your asset. You control it. And then I would make a systematic investment into the account every month, or a lump sum if you've got it, and then you'd have to decide how you want to invest it. If it's money that, because they're young, is 10 plus years out, I would probably put it in the stock market, especially now with it being down. A robo-advisor would be a great solution. It's low cost. It would automatically rebalance it among the investment options every time you make a deposit, and there wouldn't be any transaction costs. I would look at Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
This is the time where we all better be on our knees in front of our windows, where we better have the boldness to stand on the truth of God's word, where our allegiance better be to Him. Listen, He alone has an enduring kingdom. He alone makes promises and keeps them. God alone, nobody else.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We want to be a hopeful, encouraging, but Christ-centered approach to your stewardship of the financial resources God has entrusted to you. Let's head back to the phones and to Chicago. Let's see, Fort Myers. Phil, go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for your ministry, and thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I have a question regarding credit union versus bank. We're new to the Fort Myers area, and we're interested in finding a good local entity to work with. And I'm not sure if the credit union, it's not FDIC insured because it's a credit union, but they do have some sort of other insurance.
Yes.
So I wanted your take on that.
Yeah, be happy to. Well, you could go either direction. Credit unions, especially if you want a local relationship, tend to have lower fees and better interest rates on savings accounts and loans than brick and mortar banks that you might find in your area. Now, where you can find as competitive rates or even better rates in some cases is through the online banks. But if you want a local branch that you can walk into, get to know someone, you probably do want to look at a credit union option just to take advantage of those lower fees and higher interest rates. The FDIC equivalent for credit unions is the same in terms of, you know, the protection that it provides. So you're going to get the same, insurance based on the failure of that institution, whether you're with a credit union or a bank. It's just called a different name. So I wouldn't have any concern about that when you open this account.
Well, that's wonderful. That's good news. And thank you so much. I appreciate your helping me out with that decision.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for calling into the program today. We appreciate it. By the way, as you are looking at that, what the term is, NCUA, you are going to want to look for that. That means they're a part of the government agency that protects credit union members. On occasion, you will find credit unions that are through a state charter, and they're going to have potentially private insurance, although none of those have ever failed. I would prefer you be with a credit union that's a part of the NCUA, the National Credit Union Administration, and that is essentially exactly the same as FDIC. Yeah. Phil, we appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. To St. Charles, Illinois, Debbie, go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Quick question.
Hi. Yeah.
We are selling our home, and by God's goodness, we're going to net over $375,000 to $400,000, and we'll be moving to Kentucky. We're going to rent for short term till we find the right home and or build. My question is, where do I park the proceeds? knowing that you can't put more than a certain amount in any one bank.
Yeah. Well, you've got a couple of options. One is you could use multiple banks, so you could park half of it in one bank and then put the balance in another. Keep in mind, you can actually get more than $250,000 in FDIC insurance at the same bank as long as you have different account categories. So, for instance, one account category would be an individual account in your name only, and another investment or another account category would be a joint account held jointly between you and your husband. If you did it that way and you split it between those two account types or categories, you could actually get up to $250,000 on each of them. But if you wanted to have the proceeds titled jointly, in terms of the whole amount, and you didn't want some of it in a different category like titled individually, then you'd have to use more than one bank. And so I'd probably have a primary relationship, and then maybe at least if you didn't use two online banks, have a second bank as an online bank that you attach electronically to the other one so you could move money back and forth. Does that make sense?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Came up with that question this morning and thought, oh, I don't know the answer.
Okay. Very good. Well, yeah, that should give you what you need. I think the key for you is, to go ahead and take advantage of these high interest rates. I mean, how long do you have to park this money before you'd use it again?
It could be a month. It could be 9 months. Moving out of state, so we're not sure if we'll find a home. Things are turning over quickly down there, or we'll build. And, okay. I mean, we already have money, in different online accounts and different things. But obviously, we don't want to tie it up if we find something.
Yeah, very good. I think that's the key, is having it readily available, liquid, but safe. And the nice thing is, at 4% interest, which you can get on these high yield savings accounts right now with FDIC insurance, on $340,000, I mean, you could make nearly $14,000 over the next year if it sits that long. I realize it may not, but I think that's definitely the direction you want to head with this. So hopefully that helps you. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. Let's take an email. These come into us every day at askrob@faithfi.com, and we'll tackle this one from Yvonne. She says, I listened to your program. Someone called in asking about I-bonds. I heard about them about a year ago, but I didn't invest in them. But I'd love to know your thoughts. What do you think today? And what I would say is I-bonds were fairly attractive last year. That really is no longer the case. We just got the new rate as of May the 1st that's going to be good for the next 6 months. And it's down to the composite rate is now at 4.3%. Now, keep in mind, last year we were up at 9.6. The latest rate that just expired in May was 6.8%. Those were very attractive, obviously, with essentially a zero risk investment. But now that it's down at 4.3, and given the fact that with an I-bond, you've got to lock up the money for at least 12 months, even though you can get it back after 12 months with a small penalty, you absolutely can't touch it for 12 months. And if you look right now, you can get a 12-month CD at over 5%. So there would be no reason to put new money, in my opinion, into an I-bond, lock it up for 12 months when you could get a better rate and a certificate of deposit. And keep in mind, this 4.3 rate is only good for 6 months. We'll get a new one in October. And given the Fed's focus on getting inflation under control through raising interest rates, I expect that rate will continue to come down. So I would say, unless there's a real specific purpose for it, Yvonne, I'd probably pass on I-bonds given this new rate is significantly below what you can get on a CD. We appreciate you writing into us. Folks, if you have a question, feel free to send it along. Just email it to askrob@faithfi.com. We'd love to tackle it. Before we head back to the phones, the question often comes from believers. Well, what is a biblical perspective of retirement? Our modern concept of retirement isn't specifically a biblical concept. There's a narrow reference to retirement in the Bible in Numbers 8 with the Levitical priest, but that was in a very specific instance. I don't think we can apply that just across the board. The cultural view of retirement is a modern concept. Before the 20th century, people worked as long as they could, and then came Social Security and pensions, and a retirement age at 65 became somewhat of an entitlement. Well, as believers, we need to remember our service to the Lord never ends. The Apostle John was writing and preaching in his 90s. Polycarp, the pastor of Smyrna, in the second century, served, quote, 80 and 6 years, and then he was martyred. So prudent savings is wise. We need to prepare for when we're physically unable to work, but we should retire to something, not from something, and realize God's calling on our life doesn't have an expiration. So you've got to balance that with a lot of prayer and wisdom. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
As a 20-something with sweat dripping from his face, Rico Tice tried to share his faith with a friend. On the next Focus on the Family, Tice will help you overcome your fear of rejection to share your Christian faith boldly, honestly, and with humility. Don't miss this great conversation next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's head right back to the phones to Ohio. Hi, Stacy. Thanks for calling today. How can I help?
Hello. I've been hearing a lot about the cashless society, and I think they're calling it Fed now. And they were talking about your money, and they were going to just all of a sudden tell us that we can't use cash any longer. And what's going to happen to our money that's in the bank, and how do we convert that, and how do they roll that over to wherever they're guiding us or directing us?
Yeah. Well, there's pieces of truth in that, and then there's just a lot of falsehoods out there with regard to what folks are hearing and what's being said on the internet about FedNow and digital currencies and where it's all headed. So let me try to bring some clarity to this for you. FedNow is launching, and basically that's a payment system that's going to allow you to facilitate payments through the Federal Reserve. So it's like the current payment systems that are out there. It's a digital payment system. The reason that it's being created is it's going to be more efficient for timely transactions. So currently, if you want to process a payment, you can't do that, on Sunday. I mean, you can't do that 7 days a week, 24/7. But the FedNow program, which they're rolling out, is going to be available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And so it does create an opportunity for folks who need instantaneous transactions to take place. The FedNow system will do that. But the FedNow process has nothing to do with what's also being discussed, and that is a central bank digital currency, which is basically where we would have a digital dollar, but where it would run through the central bank. That's still a long way off if it ever happens. The reason is it's going to take Congress before we would ever see that. Congress is charged with coinage in this country, according to the Constitution. So the Fed can't do that. The Treasury can't do that. It would actually take Congress and the president for us to have a digital dollar. And there's real problems with that idea, in that the Fed would have access to all of your transaction information, know exactly how much money you have, where it's being spent. And that kind of infringement on our privacy is something that a lot of folks have real concern with, myself included. And so I think we're going to have significant debates about this before we would ever see that come to pass. And it's a good way off. China's been working on theirs since 2016, and they're still in a beta phase. We just got the latest first step of the research on this last year, where the U.S. government has begun to look at it, but it's still very, very early. So I think the bottom line is, could we have a central bank digital currency down the road? Yes. It's fraught with problems. There'll be a lot of debate in Congress before it ever sees the light of day. And it's completely different than the FedNow program, which is essentially a payment system to facilitate transactions. Is that helpful?
Now I tried to get myself out of debt, and I'm debt-free, and now I have my cash, and I don't want them to mess with my cash.
Yes, I understand. Well, nobody's going to mess with your cash quite yet, so I think you're in a pretty good spot. I'm glad to hear. I couldn't hear everything you said there, but it sounds like you're debt-free. That's great. I would just continue on this track and see what you can do to learn how to manage money God's way. In fact, if you want to stay on the line, I'll send you a copy of Howard Dayton's book, Your Money Counts, that I think will be an encouragement to you, help you continue to grow in your understanding of God's way of handling money. We appreciate you being on the program today, Stacy. Let's see, to Merrillville, Indiana. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Hi there, Rob. I first want to say thank you so much for this ministry. You've been so helpful to so many. My question has to do with final expenses, death and burial, insurance products versus prepaid funeral expenses. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah. I mean, I would rather you just save yourself, as opposed to using insurance, and just take what you would have been paying for an insurance policy and just continue to park that away in a savings account, so you've got that money available for whatever you might need it for along the way. But then it also could be there as, you know, funds to be able to cover these expenses at that point, rather than paying for a policy when you probably have the assets. It's just a matter of making sure they're readily available. I wouldn't be opposed to prepaid funeral expenses, as long as you do your homework on that. I mean, these funeral homes can go out of business if you wanted to change your plans. In some cases, they're not portable, moving from one state or funeral home to another. So there is a limited amount of flexibility. There's also often some hidden charges. So I would just do your homework as to what decisions you're making, what, the strength of the funeral home that you're committing this money to, and making sure that you really are committed, to the plans that you're making now. And if you did change your mind, what options you have. So I like the idea clearly of you pre-planning and taking that burden off of your loved ones at an already difficult time. And I like the fact that you'd have that, already covered in a lot of the decisions made. I just want to make sure you go into it asking a lot of questions so that you understand exactly what you're getting into. Does that make sense?
Certainly that does. Someone had told me, though, that there was a system in place where the state will guarantee the funds if a funeral home goes out of business, that it would be backed up by the state.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that, and that may be, on a state-by-state basis that is the case. So I would be interested to look for your state, whether that's, something that's in place there. I'm not available. I'm not aware of that being available nationwide.
Okay. All right.
So, but it'd be a good question to ask as you do your homework. Yeah, exactly right. Hey, thanks for calling today, Barbara. We appreciate it. To Crystal River, Florida. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi there. This is about my tithes, and I drew out money from my 401k to go on my 70th birthday with my husband to Italy and to Greece. Now I'm thinking, should I tithe on that money that I drew out to go on my vacation? I don't want to short God, you know, and with my tithes.
Yeah. Certainly appreciate your desire to be found faithful in your giving. If you're applying the principle of the tithe, Karen, I mean, you can never outgive God, so it's never a bad idea to give. But if you're applying the principle of the tithe specifically to this money, you know, that's not your increase. So if you have money in a savings account and you withdraw it, just by virtue of you taking it out, that doesn't mean that you've received an increase. It just means that you've taken money out. Applying the principle of tithe to an increase would be when you receive money as either from your job as a part of your compensation. Maybe you receive an inheritance or a gift. You could even, you know, look at Social Security or a pension as your increase, and you would give a tenth of that. But essentially, money that you've already received, you've already tithed on that money. And so by virtue of you pulling it out of a savings account and spending it on a vacation doesn't really allow the principle of the tithe to come into play. Does that make sense?
That'll make me feel a lot better. Thank you so much.
Okay. Hey, where are you going in Italy?
Venice and Florence and Rome. I want to go to Rome. And then,
that sounds amazing. And when do you go?
Yeah. September 2nd.
Okay. Very good. Well, listen, happy birthday in advance. And thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. Let's head to Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Patricia.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling because my husband and I are contemplating buying a home that so we would be closer to our son. It would be a second home. I've retired, but he has 4 years left to work. And we're wondering if now is the time to take that mortgage and take some money out of our 401 or Roth IRA to pay for the home.
I see. All right. So give me kind of a quick rundown of where you're at. So what is your age?
My age is 65.
Okay. And your husband?
My husband is 61.
Okay. And how long do you all plan to continue to work?
He's going to work 4 more years till he's 65. I retired.
Okay. Very good. And what do you have in the way of investable assets inside your all of your retirement accounts together, roughly?
About $1.9 million.
Okay. All right. And do you own your current home free and clear?
Correct. We have no debt.
You have no debt. All right. Very good. And what would you be looking to spend on this second home?
Probably about $350,000.
Okay. All right. Very good. And how much of that 1.9 is in the Roth?
About $450,000.
Okay. And are you pulling an income from any of those retirement accounts, or are you just living solely on your husband's income?
We just live solely on my husband's income.
Okay. And do you have enough surplus where you could absorb this mortgage on the $350,000 if you had to take that?
Yes.
Okay. Do you all really have a conviction to be debt-free, or would you be interested in taking on a mortgage and then paying it down over time?
Well, we have a conviction for being debt free, but we're worried about taking out money out of our savings that's for our retirement.
Sure. And what kind of income stream are you going to need in retirement alongside Social Security once your husband stops working? Do you know roughly how much you're going to need per month?
Probably about $5,000-$6,000 a month.
Okay. All right. You know, you should be fine with that. I mean, it's, you know, if you took 4% a year on 1.9, and that's prior to whatever growth will occur over the next 4 years, you could generate $76,000 a year. So I think you guys are in pretty good shape. I would just talk to your CPA about the best way to do it from a tax standpoint. That may be to take it out of the Roth. It may be the pre-tax money. But I think you're going to be in great shape, you know, no problem to go ahead and pay for this out of cash. Hang on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks for listening. We're grateful for you joining us each day. I'm Rob West, and on behalf of my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry, have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.